It is so good to see all of you this morning. It's so good to worship a risen Savior today. Amen. We praise God for the fact that Jesus was in fact born. We celebrate the fact that God came to earth as Emmanuel. He is God with us in the person of Jesus Christ. But we recognize that he did not just come to be born and come to live, but he came to die, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be made whole, that we might be restored and set free. And so we come together today not just to celebrate the fact that God has given us the gift of his Son, but we come to celebrate today that Son came to give us life. And to give us that life that is even more abundant than we could ever imagine for ourselves. Amen? We have a lot to celebrate today, don't we? We have so much to celebrate today. And I just praise God for the opportunity to be together, that we could worship his holy name, that we could get into his word, and that we could look even further into how it is that Jesus is the world changer for our lives, the world changer for our culture, and how it is that we can look a little deeper into the prophecy that was spoken about Jesus out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This has been our theme verse throughout the month here. And so, again, let me just read this for you. It says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Today, we focus in on how Jesus is the fulfillment of that Prince of Peace. Today, I want to ruin Christmas for you, actually, if you don't mind. What else would you expect from me, right? For some time now, and it was interesting, I had a great conversation with Ben a little bit earlier about what the Bible actually says about the setting of where Jesus was born, right? There are a lot of things that we sort of infer into the story. Like, for example, he'd even mentioned that it says that Jesus was born in a manger, but it doesn't necessarily say that he was born in a barn, right? As he was saying, maybe they picked up the manger, they just kind of ganked it from the barn and brought it out and put it out on the side of a building or something like that. Or maybe they just put it in somebody else's house. That was just, maybe that's what they had. We don't know exactly where it was. We just know he was in a manger. And he was wrapped up in some cloths, and that when the shepherds got there, he was laying there and all was right with the world, right? The one song that I think really kind of, I don't know, it's not that it bothers me, it's just that I just wonder how accurate it really is, and that is Silent Night. Like, I love, don't get me wrong, I love the song, and I'm almost 100% certain that all of you love the song too. Like, you hear that song, and you just, everyone feels like lighting a candle, right? Turn the lights out, light the candle, let's sing Silent Night. I remember the church I was a part of, early when I was a lot younger, it was a Methodist congregation. We would do a midnight service, right? It started at 11, I guess. The service would end at midnight. Every year, we would end that service by singing Silent Night, everybody holding a candle. Of course, all the kids like pouring wax on each other and that kind of stuff, right? Which I think is probably a little more realistic as to what the setting was. But every time I hear that song, I just think to myself, was it really a silent night? Like Jesus is a baby after all. And I don't know how many of you have been around babies, but there's a lot of times where they're not so silent, right? And particularly at night, for some reason, they choose that time to not be silent. Like, they'll sleep all day, not so much at night, right? Particularly for newborns, they're not very good at knowing what time it is at all, actually. And they're not very considerate of when I want to sleep at all, right? And so not only is Jesus a newborn and probably not all that quiet himself, I don't care how holy he is, he still had to cry, right? But we can also infer, at least in some way, that if there was a manger there, which is a feeding trough, something was probably around there trying to eat out of it, right? And so while we, again, this is one of those where it would be great to like not just have the Gospels in the book that we have as the Bible, but man, it would have been so awesome if Jesus could have been just going around on his iPhone, like doing Facebook Live for everything, you know, just so we saw what all was happening there, right? We don't have that. But it makes me wonder if maybe instead of it being a silent night, maybe it sounded a little bit more like this. Wait for it. Maybe it wasn't all that silent after all, right? Maybe there was a whole lot of noise going on. Maybe it really wasn't all that silent. Maybe it was actually kind of a noisy night. And maybe he's still the savior of the universe, even if it was a noisy night, right? Like it didn't have to be quiet in order for him to be God still, you know? And so as we investigate this idea of the world in which Jesus came into, and we have this picture sometime of, oh, this silent night, this holy night, and the fact that it was silent is maybe part of what makes it holy? I don't know. What I find even very, I guess what I want to, how I want to dive into this here is that I wonder if the world in which Jesus came into was not actually all that silent, but it was rather kind of filled with a whole bunch of racket. It was actually kind of really noisy and maybe even messy and maybe it was a little chaotic, right? But the truth that I want us to understand, maybe let me say it this way, the question that I want us to dive into today is how is it that the world changer, which is to be the Prince of Peace, would come into a world of such chaos? And I'm not even talking about just the noise that might have been there when he was born, but I'm even talking about the chaos of the culture in which Mary and Joseph lived in, and the governmental systems, and the way that even the religious system was broken, and all that kind of stuff. Like, Jesus came into a world of governmental and religious chaos. He came into a time where things were all over the place, and that's probably something we can relate with pretty well too, can't we? And so maybe we're even asking ourselves the question of how is it that Jesus is living the fulfillment of being the Prince of Peace, of being that kind of world changer when we find ourselves in a world that doesn't seem to be ruled by peace? How is he the Prince of Peace when we're surrounded by everything that doesn't seem peaceful? Well, today we're gonna get into several different scriptures, and so if you have your Bibles with you, get ready to flip on through here. But before we get into that, let's pray for just a moment. Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be together in worshiping you today. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to be with us. And God, we offer our attention and our energy to you even now. God, we ask that you would speak into our lives. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place. I ask, Father, that you would help us all not only to hear your voice, but help us, Father, to say yes to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And as we're looking at Jesus as the Prince of Peace, you could probably look at this verse and say, ah, there it is, right there. He's the fulfillment. He's the Prince of Peace. But then the verse keeps going on and he says, "I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now here's my question. If Jesus is giving us peace, what would we have to be afraid of? Right? If Jesus just said to his disciples, let me say it this way. If Jesus just said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you," then why would they also, why would there even be the possibility of them being afraid? See, many times when we are praying, we pray prayers that sound like, "Lord, please keep us safe. Lord, please be with us to get from here to there safely. Lord, please keep us from hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, keep us in, help us to live in your peace. When really, I think sometimes what we mean by that is